Good morning, MCC. In case you haven't heard, I love this church. If you're joining us for the first time, it is an honor to be spending this time with you. We want you to feel welcome and at home. We are in our sermon series, When God Seems. We have already looked at when God seems indifferent. Those times when you feel God just doesn't seem to even care about you or the circumstances engulfing your life. Last week we looked at when God seems uncooperative. Those times we know God is working, but He's not working the way we think He should. The answer seems so clear. It's not that complicated. But it's just not cooperating with us. Even though it's obvious. And we know what's best. Peter came to Jesus once while he was teaching thousands in the wilderness. He shared some earth-shattering news with Jesus. Jesus, he said, this is a remote place. We're having a revival way out in the countryside on somebody's farmland. That's the way we used to do it in Kentucky. Do you have those? And this service is going way too long. We have passed the holy hour because the Holy Spirit quits working at noon. And you know, Lord, the crowds are getting pretty hungry. So send them to town so they can get something to eat. An obvious problem and a simple solution. Until Jesus said, you give them something to eat. You can almost see Peter saying, Jesus, are you listening to the words that are coming out of my mouth? Trust me. I know what's best here, Jesus. Send them to town to get something to eat. But Jesus teaches a valuable lesson that day. You know what's simple. You know what's easy. You know what they need. I know what you need. Now, if you missed either of those sermons, you can find them online at our website or on our church app. Yes, we have an app for that too. Or you can pick up a CD at the Welcome Center. Today we continue the series by dealing with those times when God seems late. We shared from the very start, every single one of us who believes in God, and this applies whether you're a Christian or not, if you believe in God, we all have seasons in our lives when we assume God is going to operate in a certain direction, and it just doesn't. Maybe you're in one of those seasons now, and maybe that's what's been holding you back from becoming a Christian. Maybe your seasons have included the feeling that God is not on your timetable. One of the most important things we said you can ever understand about yourself is all of us approach God with a set of presuppositions. In other words, in advance, we suppose, we assume without having all the facts. In advance, we assume some things about God without knowing all there is to know, and because of those presuppositions, we will find ourselves in seasons in our lives when God seems to be someone other than who we think He ought to be. And when those seasons come, we're left with this weighty question, what do you do when God doesn't do what you think God should do. Have you ever told a friend about something significant that happened in your life, and then you said, "Oh man, the timing was just perfect." Or received a gift or a call or a visit, and you said, "Oh man, that could not have come at a better time." Times when things seem to come together like clockwork. Several years ago, Brad Paisley had the number one country song. It was called "Waiting on a Woman." Some of the lyrics went like this. "Sitting on a bench at Westtown Mall, he sat down beside me in his overalls, and he asked me, 'You waiting on a woman?' I nodded and said, 'Yeah, how about you?' He said, 'Son, since 1952, I've been waiting on a woman.' When I picked her up for our first date, I told her I'd be there at 8. She came down the stairs at 8:30. She said, 'I'm sorry that it took so long. Didn't like a thing I tried on. But let me tell you, son, she sure looked pretty.' 'Yeah, she'll take her time, but I don't mind waiting on a woman.' I've read somewhere statistics show the man is always the first to go. And that makes sense because I know she won't be ready." So when it finally comes my time and I get to the other side, I'll find myself a bench if they've got any and hope she takes her time because I don't mind waiting on a woman. I've been married 47 years. I've never experienced that. But there must be many who resonate with Brad Paisley's assessment that you have to wait on women. Given the choice of being early or being late, we probably see more benefits in being early than in being late. Late seems to have more negative repercussions than early does. And if you don't believe me, ask your boss their opinion on you showing up early or you showing up late. Or show up 20 minutes late for a doctor's appointment. Oh, he'll just be getting there, but you'll be late. Or show up 20 minutes late for a scheduled meeting at work. Or 20 minutes late for the tea time at the golf course, or for a job interview, or for an audition. You don't hear an 18-year-old boy say to his new girlfriend, "Your dad said be home by 11 p.m. It's 2 a.m. I can't wait to see his face." You don't hear that. You ever traveled by plane and when you get to the end of your flight, you discover your luggage didn't arrive with you? As a culture, we would almost always agree late is never a good thing. When you're late, you miss the flight. You miss the interview. You miss the second date. You miss the deadline for the scholarship application. When you're late, parents and spouses, co-workers and friends begin to worry. And they begin to think bad things. Did they forget me? Did they oversleep? Or in my case, did he get lost? Then they begin to think horrible things. Were they in an accident? Were they kidnapped? And when you finally show up and they see you're okay, they want to kill you. And you're left to deal with the consequences of your lateness. Now, we can be late for a variety of reasons. Traffic, weather, flat tire, run out of gas, hit a detour on the way, etc. We realize as human beings, we will be late sometimes. But let's be honest, we are much more forgiving of those who are late when it is the exception than when they're late all the time. So we understand when imperfect people are occasionally late. But what do you do when it seems a perfect God is late? And things don't unfold the way you think they should. As ridiculous as it is, there are times when we feel that the one who is supposed to be running the universe has fallen asleep at the wheel. Now, we would never say that out loud, but we have those moments, moments when we want to say to the one who spoke the solar system into place, "Why didn't you show up? You're late." Let's look together at John chapter 11. If you grew up in the church, you're familiar with the story. There are three siblings, and they are all very close friends with Jesus. In fact, Jesus came to their house quite often. Who are we talking about? Yeah, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. They lived in Bethany, and at this particular time, Jesus and His disciples are nowhere near Bethany. Lazarus has gotten very ill. So John 11 verse 3 says, "So the sister sent word to Jesus, 'Lord, the one you love is sick.'" Now the obvious intent is for Jesus what? Come back to Bethany. Because they are so tight with each other. They're kind of calling in a favor. It's as if they're saying, "You're always healing strangers, and now someone you really care about, someone you're close to, someone you love, desperately needs you." I think, in my mind, they believe Jesus will immediately respond to this news of Lazarus' illness, drop whatever He's doing, and come save their brother and his friend. Verse 4. When He heard this, Jesus said, "This sickness will not end in death. No, it's for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Pause there just a moment. As you're reading this account in the Gospel of John, John doesn't want us to miss this. John says there's going to be a twist in the narrative here. But make no mistake about what's about to unfold. Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Verse 6, "So when He heard that Lazarus was sick, He stayed where he was 2 more days. Then He said to His disciples, 'Let us go back to Judea.'" The sisters are waiting for Jesus to return to heal their brother. The need is immediate. Time is of the essence. But Jesus and His disciples stay where they are for another 2 days. "Oh, don't worry about it," He says. "I've got this. Trust me," He says. "Lazarus will be okay," He says. Meanwhile, the sisters are waiting. One day becomes two. 2 days become three. And when Jesus shows up, Lazarus has been dead 4 days. How are you with a God who makes you wait? How are you with a God who seems to be late according to your timetable? How are you with a God who delays showing up so long that He has totally messed up everything you thought God should have done? Maybe we need this reminder. From your perspective, it may feel like God is slow, but He's never late. That's so important for us to remember. When Jesus arrives at Bethany, one of the sisters comes out to meet Him and she said something to Him. Shortly after, the other sister came out to meet Him and she said something to him. As it turns out, they both said the exact same thing, separate from each other, without hearing what the other had said. You know what they said? "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." They both said it. If we're not careful, when we read that verse in church or Sunday school or small group, we kind of read it like I just did, kind of gloss over it with a little sweetness. "Lord, if you'd only been here, my brother would not have died." But listen, Mary and Martha didn't greet Jesus like they worked at Chick-fil-A. I think when they said it, there was a bite to it, some frustration, because they knew He had power. He could have healed their brother if He had been there. If He had come when they sent for Him. Basically, what they're saying is, "You're late. We waited and we waited and we waited, and now Lazarus is not sick. Lazarus is dead. He's been that way for 4 days." You know that feeling. It's so discouraging when you're in God's waiting room. Extended waiting can lead to discouragement, especially when "not yet" begins to feel like "not ever." We don't choose to wait. When you're at Walmart or Myers and you're ready to check out, you don't survey the registers for the longest line. You don't say, "Hey, here's a good one. She seems inept and slow." Sorry, sometimes those things just slip out of my mouth. We don't like to wait. Some of you have been timing this sermon since I started. You read the title of this message and you said, "Boy, I hope he's not late today." We don't like to wait. And here's why. In our minds, wait means late. And we want what we want now. David shouts out our frustrations with his words in Psalm 13. "How long, Lord? Will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and day after day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me?" Basically, this repeated refrain, "How long?" It's just another way of David respectfully saying to an all-powerful God, "You're late. It's been way too long. You should have taken care of this a long time ago. You're late." You've probably had some "how long" seasons in your life. "How long will my marriage, until my marriage begins to give life instead of draining life? How long till my teenager quits rebelling? How long till my business gets back on track? How long before our house sells? How long?" Interestingly, the phrase "how long" appears 20 times in the Psalms. And David is just revealing this raw honesty about our difficult seasons. Sometimes they become seasons that make us bitter instead of better. And yet somehow each time David emerged from those seasons stronger and more trusting in the Lord. And while the delay of the divine can be frustrating at times, the more we realize the character of our timeless and eternal God, the better we understand the times of our waiting and wondering. It's far hard for us sometimes to remember God doesn't wear a watch. And God doesn't keep a calendar. Listen to the conclusion David comes to in Psalm 13, verse 5. But I trust your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. That's a great place to get to when God seems late. I trust in your unfailing love. No matter how long it takes, I trust you won't let me down. Your love for me is unfailing. We realize and acknowledge God loves us, and that's more important than the timing of how things unfold. Back in John 11, recall that each sister went to Jesus separately, and He said, if you'd have been here, our brother would not have died. Now I want you to see something. When Martha says that, Jesus answered her by saying, I am the resurrection and the life. When Mary says it, He doesn't answer her in the same way. Jesus does something different. When Mary says those words, she breaks down and she begins to cry. And do you know what His response to her was? John 11:35. Jesus wept. He cried with her. His response was compassion and love. I don't know about you, but I find solace in knowing that Jesus matches up what He gives each of us with what we need. Martha needed a lesson. Mary needed love. You can always trust Jesus to meet you in your waiting room with just what you need. After this, Jesus asked to be taken to the grave. Now, I think everyone thought Jesus wanted to visit the gravesite in respect for the family. But when they get there, Jesus says something unusual. He says, remove the stone. The townspeople were like, Jesus, we know you weren't here when Lazarus died, and you weren't here for the wake, and you want to pay respect to the family. That's all fine. But, and Martha speaks up and says, Lord, He's been dead 4 days. And what? He stinketh. That's a King James word. He stinketh. See, there are no expectations of Jesus now. Lazarus is dead, buried, and ripe. But Jesus knows what He's doing, and He's about to give them a very strong illustration. He first wanted them to know Lazarus really was dead. If there were any doubters, the odor would have convinced them. If you grew up around the church, you know what happens next. He cups His hand around His mouth and He shouts at the newly opened entrance to the tomb, Lazarus, come out. And at that command, in only a matter of a moment, Lazarus, wrapped in grave cloths, comes stumbling out of the tomb. Everyone's jaw drops. Their eyes bulge. They gasp for breath. They can't believe Lazarus is alive. And Jesus says this was for their benefit, that they might believe God had sent Him. Now we see how verse 5 fits in this narrative. The sisters send word. Their brother and Jesus' friend, Lazarus, is sick. And then we read, so Jesus waits another 2 days. And remember, back in verse 5, John sandwiched a comment between those two events. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. And the sisters, having sent word, have been waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting. And by the time Jesus shows up, Lazarus has already died. It appears Jesus is not only late, Jesus is too late. No one was really feeling the love. But now Jesus has put feet to His words to Martha. Now He is the resurrection and the life, standing right there before you. Now God is glorified. Life is restored. And just how far reaching God's love goes is clear. It doesn't go to the grave. It goes beyond the grave. God really does love us. And even in times when our life takes twists and turns and when God seems to be late, we can trust God is not late. God is in control. The hands of God's clock align with His love, not our longings. I'm inviting you today to trust in a God whose unconventional methods unfold according to His timetable, not ours. And to trust He is not late. He is in control. So here's your takeaway when God seems late. Late is never a good thing unless Jesus is on His way. And He is. He is. Father God, this morning, we've all probably been there to some degree. Some this morning, worshiping with us right here together, are in a season of their life where they are in God's waiting room. And some probably are frustrated with the delay of the divine. Where are you? How long? Father, give our soul the peace that surpasses understanding so we can trust. When it seems you're late, we can trust that it's never late when you're on your way. And you are. Some this morning, Father, need to make a decision. We've been letting things like your untimeliness in our mind, from our perspective, keep us from saying, I want to commit my life to a God who just keeps me waiting all the time. I want to commit my life to a God whose ways are so unconventional that it just doesn't make sense sometimes. I want to commit my life to a God who can take just a simple solution to a simple problem and like put it on the back burner. When really what I want is to trust a God who I know is in control. Some of us need a church family that will help us through those times of waiting. Some of us need to go back to one another and ask forgiveness for the times that we have tried to rush the plans of God and have messed them up so badly. Some of us need to ask forgiveness. Some of us need to give forgiveness. Some of us need to, just like Mary, bawl our eyes out because we feel the situation is so hopeless and so lost. To be honest before you, because then we will know you don't scold us. You weep with us. You lift us up in your arms. And you show us just how much you love us. And we realize, finally, Jesus was right all along. I was just so impatient. I'm glad I let you work this out your way, instead of mine. Whatever our decisions, Father, let Your Spirit move us today as individuals, as families, as a church. That our influence and outreach to those around us at work, at home, in our communities would be such an impactful thing in our world around us that they would know, oh, our God's not late. He is on His way. And until then, we'll trust You. In Jesus' name, amen.